Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, we are live from the 35th Torino Film Festival. I'm with Richard Longcrane, director of the opening film of this edition, Finding Your Feet. So welcome, Richard.
Thank you. Lovely to be here. Oh, sorry, microphone. I'm not used to cinema, television and microphones. I apologise. No, I am. It's wonderful to be in Turin. It's a real honour and a pleasure. It's a great city, and above all else, you are the best cooks in the world.
The film was very uploaded yesterday. Everybody liked it. So how was it to open a festival?
Frightening to open a film in a language that is not the language the film was shot in. And it's not just a comedy, but it certainly is a comedy. So I was very nervous, and I'm still nervous. I still don't really know whether it was received well or how mediocrely, whether people really liked it. You know, people are polite in festivals. They have a vested interest in. They haven't usually paid any money to go. They've been invited. So I wait to see what the real results are. But I hope people liked it.
How would you describe the film? I read in your press notes that you said it's a film with a real heart.
Well, I hope it's a film with a real heart. It's a love story, really. It's not just a love story of a man and a woman, but a love story of two sisters finding their love for each other again. It's a story about old age and about finding old age and grabbing it and not just becoming old. You know, we have a joke in England, you're as old as the woman you feel, which is hard to translate, but I won't try to translate. But basically, I think, you know, old age is in your head. Yes, your bones ache. You don't want to take your clothes off when you get to past a certain age. You don't want to dance in front of your children because they laugh at you. But if your heart is young and your head is young, I think you can stay young and enjoy the last part of your life as much as you did the first.
So it's like in the film, love later life.
Yes, it is. It is.
It is also a film about failures and, you know, the bad choices we made in life, but also about second chances and maybe third chances. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the bad choices are based on my life. No, not entirely.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's a film about choices. It's a film about people. It's not a complicated movie. Americans would call it a feel-good movie, although it does make you cry. I think the end of the movie is we get off stage in a way that makes you feel that life is worth living. There is some sadness in everyone's life, and there is sadness in this movie. But I think it's a film that, as we said, starting has heart, you know? You care about the people. It starts off as a broader comedy, a bit broader, and it gradually metamorphosizes into something different. And I don't know if that was really intentional. You know, sometimes you get lucky. But there's a point in the movie where I think you just care about these people, and you're not sure why, because they're great actors and the script's good. And I think by the time the film ends, you feel part of their lives, and that's what makes a movie, if it were to work, I think.
And you also respect them.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do.
How easy was for you to direct this incredible actress? I felt like that they weren't only dancing. They were also dancing when they were acting. You know, this kind of, you know, it felt like a dance for me, and like by watching them and waiting to hear what was coming out of their mouth.
It was... There's a lot of rubbish, I think, talked about directing actors. They say he or she is very good with actors.
Yeah.
Well, he or she shouldn't be doing... It's just about being polite. It's about not, you know, it's about being strong when you need to be, not being rude, being kind, being supportive. I don't do a lot when I direct. I hopefully choose a good script and keep working on it till I think it's right. I then choose the best actors I can find, who aren't necessarily the most commercial actors, not always. But in this case, they were well-known. But they're not well-known in America, for example, really. And so it's going to be interesting to see. We have a wonderful distributor in America who distributed Manchester by the Sea, called Roadside Attraction. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. They understand the movie, and I think that's going to be necessary. I think that the company who bought the film in Italy understand it as well. But it's a film that needs to be nurtured. You can't just put it out in 1,000 screens and expect people to just go.
You were before you were saying that it's a film about old age, and it's something that it's happening more now in cinema, that we're mm-hmm. watching stories about that moment in your life. Do you think that it's just a coincidence, or there's a special need for this kind of stories that people want to
Well, watch? I mean, one factor would be, I'm 71 years old. I was born in 1946, the year after the war ended. And I think that, so we in England, we're called the Bulge children, because there were thousands and thousands of us being born all over the world, hundreds of thousands. And so I think that the people of my age, you know, I'm 70, but so there's more of a market for it. I think that, you know, Marigold Hotel, which I at one point was going to direct, but didn't work out. But I think from that, and the person who did it, by the way, did a wonderful job, so I should say that. I think since that film made, I don't know, $400 million around the world, it's a financial business. This is not, you know, it may be an art form, but it's an art form that requires vast amounts of money. So once people realised, financiers realised there was money to be made, then sure, there was a market to do it.
Something that I'm curious about, there's an interesting choice of an Italian song when they're arriving in Rome. It's Tintarella di Luna.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
great
something
song.
That you come out.
No, my editor found it. My editor, Johnny Dawkes, is a musician. He's not really an editor, he's a film director and a musician. But I met him, I have a company that makes apps. Mm-hmm. We do a Shakespeare app with Sir Ian McKellen about The Tempest we've done, and we're doing a whole series of them. And I met Johnny Dork through that, and I decided to ask him to edit the film. He's never edited a feature film before, but he wrote the end song, that wonderful song at the end. My editor wrote that, and it's being recorded. It's been recorded by a great old English singer of the age of 50-something.
But it's very... It's
poignant.
Yes.
I have to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question now. at the end of the movie, that song, okay, mm-hmm. the song that we play out, the lyrics for me, I tried many ways to try and end the film, and I didn't know what to do. It didn't work. We wrote score because you could call it a chase sequence. He is leaving, she is running to try and find him. So we wrote music, we had the composer try, and it didn't work. So fast music and then slow music and didn't work. And then I thought maybe we should try a song, because normally in a romantic comedy, at the very end of the movie, you have the play out song. And I thought, what about if we started the song before the movie ended? So the song became her voice, what she was thinking, what her life was about. But my question to you is, as an Italian, do you think that for people, Italians who don't speak English, that the lyrics of that song should be subtitled, or do you think it would confuse them? Because... What do you think? I wouldn't normally, the rest of the, like the rock and roll songs, you don't need to know the lyrics.
Well, when thinking about the fact that it's like sort of her interior voice approaching, it could be something that could be added to the story.
You don't think it would confuse? It wouldn't confuse you?
Well, yeah, there's a part of the audience that might not really get the symbolism.
Yeah, but you understood it in English.
Yes, but you know.
But you speak English.
I speak English, and plus... Since we work in this environment, sometimes I notice that I feel things and I notice things that normally the general audience, but it's not because I'm pretty good, but I'm just used to analyze a film.
Yeah, okay.
So I look for those things, and sometimes when you just go and watch a film, you don't look for particular things, you just stay there and react to...
Yeah, okay.
But in a way, I like things to get deeper, so...
Yeah, it's just a difficult question.
I have mixed feelings
about
that.
Okay, well, that's what my producer said. We both have mixed feelings. So you've been no help to me at all. Thank you.
Which is so with this bad advice that I think I gave you, good luck with finding your feet. Thank you so much.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you for having me on the radio show.
And this
Appreciate
is Chiara Nicoletti from the 35th Torino Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.